All right. Yeah, so I finished Avatar The Last Airbender with the family this last week, and there were definitely some bits that changed that I didn't really care for. But there were actually some bits that I did end up liking that they changed. Have you finished it?
I have not.
You have not. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm gonna end up probably bringing it maybe next.
And I'll keep it somewhat vague. But there was a character that they made their story a lot. They added more elements to their story, because in the original anime, they were in two episodes. That's it. And it was kind of a weird little segment with that character. But they elaborated on her character a little bit more. And it wasn't like a huge change. It wasn't a huge deviation. But it was a small deviation that was impactful. And I actually liked it. So when you get to it, she has white hair. So that way you'll know what character I'm talking about. And she isn't in this a whole lot either, but, they just added some tidbits. They missed out on they developed her character more than it was in the anime, or it's not really an anime, in the cartoon. There's some other bits of character development that I think were sorely lacking or just completely changed. Like for instance, Azula, Princess Azula, her characterization is very different, different from the cartoon. So, and you said you've never watched the cartoon, right?
No, I watched all but the last season of the cartoon because I got distracted or something.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know why I enjoyed it, but I just got distracted. So I'll probably end up watching it again, would be my guess.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And then if you ever do go back and watch the cartoon, I really, really like the three seasons of the Aang seasons, Avatar Aang. Korra, I think, could have been a lot better, but it struggled primarily because they didn't know how many seasons they were going to get greenlit for.
Oh.
And so it was, okay, let's do one season. Okay, let's do one more season. Okay, let's do one more season. And so I think it suffered from pacing and overall story arc because it wasn't fully planned out.
Right.
Whereas from the stories that I've heard, the Avatar The Last Airbender, the original one, the original three seasons, they went in with it basically completely mapped out all three seasons, the big picture of it.
Right.
And so they were very much ready for it to be good.
Right.
But yeah.
Hey, hello, look who showed up.
Charles.
That you can't even stop and talk and go, oh my God, you're here. I missed you so much. No, you have to be like,
yeah. Well, you came in like a creeper. We had to ignore you.
Yeah.
Is this thing on? Is this thing? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Does it work?
So what kind of witness protection are you in this week?
Shut up, Randy. I have got a conference first thing in the morning up in North Georgia, and I'm helping, my company sponsored it. And so I'm doing some video stuff for them and whatnot as well. So it takes about 2 hours from my house to get there. So I'd rather not have to get up at 4 in the morning to be at the conference. So
that's it makes sense.
So, you know what though? I got two questions for you guys. One is, how is it that Random Kid can show up to the Connections with Creators each week and you guys can't? Second question, don't worry about the first one. Second question, Joe, how does it feel to know that I have more fans in your house of me than you do of you? I called Joe to say, hey, man, I'm running just a little bit behind. Just letting you know, I'll be there right there. And all I hear in the background is Charles and his wife. Wife is mocking me and calling me. I'm like, you better watch it, young lady.
Failure.
You better watch it, young lady. Well, I'll talk about you on the show.
And then my 4-year-old is like, Charles, 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 and tries to talk about Minecraft with him on the phone.
And this is how dedicated I am. Joe, do you realize, do you know that 7-Eleven bought Speedway?
Yeah. Yeah. I assumed because all the Speedways in the area were showing as 7-Eleven.
Yeah, 7-Elevens, and they got service. Yeah. I passed one on the way here, but I was 20 minutes out, and it said I was going to get here at 8:20, which I got, you know, checking everything else is a little bit later, and I didn't stop. I didn't stop to get a Slurpee. I came right to the show. So you're welcome, everybody.
I'm sure you'll get one tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe. George is weird that way. It's 20 minutes that way, but my ride home might take me the different way, so I don't know. What is the question of the week? I'm assuming that
we haven't even started yet. We haven't even played the button.
Oh my god, we were 7 minutes late. How did you not start the show? You just waste all that good content, and this isn't the show.
Let's start the show.
All right.
Get ready to laugh out loud with Wise and Nerdy, a show hosted by two hilarious dads who are bringing their unique...
There.
...to giving advice on navigating the ups and downs of life. These two dads have got you covered. But that's not all. They're also obsessed with all things nerdy. From comic books and sci-fi movies to video and board games. So whether you're a fellow dad, a pop culture fanatic, or just in need of a good laugh, tune in to Wise and Nerdy and join in the fun.
Welcome to our Fatherhood Meets Fandom. We love what we do, and we do what we love. And you'll find your fandom here with us. But Joe, I'm going to revoke your access. You got to be professional for a hot second. For one hot second. And your Kurt's just sitting there going, shaking his head, going, I can't believe I'm riding shotgun with these morons. So welcome to the show, everybody. I made it in. Joe was late, but that's on him. I didn't tell him to be late. Tell him my show up. Good warm-ups, I guess, guys. I'm still going to put it in the podcast. It's still going on the podcast, the mockery that I did with you guys. And Kurt, stop shaking your skinny head. I'm tired of seeing your fit guy videos. I'm tired of seeing you look like you're a stick. Go get fat, fool. You skinny shame me every time you come across my TikTok.
I got plenty of fat left. It's all good.
Nah, you're good, man. You're kicking butt and taking names. So what is the question of the week? I'm going to the gym after the show.
It's the question of the week.
The question of the week: are your phones / smart devices listening to you?
You know, I feel like that falls into the whole Facebook thing of, I saw a post yesterday from a friend of mine, love her dearly, but I'm like, oh my God, it's not how the world works. But it's like, oh, it's official. Do not use my photos. I do not sit on this. I was like, that's not how that works. Just because you put something, I just feel like it's that. I feel like this whole, the phone's listening to us thing. There's so many ways to collect data. I'll just say I don't officially know, but it is such a conspiracy theory there. What do you guys think?
I think it absolutely is. And I think we should.
I'm not saying it's not. I just think it's like, oh my God.
I think we should test that whole theory right now.
Okay. How do we test it?
How do we test it? I think that one of the ways that we can test it is we can go, you know, there is nothing I want to look for this weekend more than Jimmy Dean sausage. I wonder where I can find Jimmy Dean sausage. And is it available in my area? Is it available in your area? I don't know. I wonder what supermarkets have Jimmy Dean sausage.
Wise and Nerdy, brought to you by the competitor of Jimmy Dean sausage. So you said all that, right? And that's the thing. People say, oh, you know, I mentioned I might look up shoes and there are shoes. So how do we test this theory? You talked about Jimmy Dean sausage.
Yep. And I think we test it by seeing if it pops up on our Facebook ads between now and next week.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I think you guys need to say the words out loud.
What?
I've never seen Dean of Jimmy's Sausage show up on my advertisements anywhere.
That's part of the reason why I chose it.
Okay. What about you, Joe?
Oh, all I know is I have been having conversations, and I guarantee like everyone's got a story like this, but I have been having conversations and never seen an ad for something before until after that conversation. Like, for instance, when you and I went up to Chicago to see Barry and to do GoFest, we stopped and we got a specific brand of moonshine.
What brand was that, Joseph?
I texted you what the brand was the other day.
Oh, I know. I just wanted to see if you'd say it and have it pop up on your feed. Old Smoky.
Old Smoky, yeah. So we bought that specific brand, and all of a sudden, for the next 3 weeks, Facebook was giving me ads for that specific brand. And then it was just a couple weeks ago where I texted you because you had asked me what the brand was. And I said, I saw this billboard for it. This is what it was. The next day, I started getting those ads again for that specific brand.
On Facebook, on TikTok.
On Facebook. I don't do TikTok unless you send me a TikTok link. And so, again, and then there's another instance where I was giving my coworker a ride to work for about a week because his car was in the shop. And we were talking about how we wished that there was something similar to Netflix, but for audiobooks, where you pay your monthly fee and then you can just listen to whatever they have in their library, right? Instead of like Audible, where you buy the book and then you have it in your library.
They have an unlimited version.
Well, they've got, as my understanding, I've never actually done Audible, is that they've got a certain books that are part of their unlimited section, and then you can buy extras.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a library. You get one book a month, and then there's an off chart, not famous reading list that you get
yes.
all access to all the time.
Yeah, the random B tier stuff. But we were talking about that, and again, the next day, Facebook is giving me ads for this random service I had never heard about, and it was only for that day that they showed it to me. But it was some random service.
I'm pretty sure I sent you an audiobook kind of link in that time frame.
You don't even know what time frame I'm talking about. This was before I even met you.
No, you've always known me. I've always known you.
Okay.
Look, my ads right now are adaychick.com, sizes small to 5XL, and cookunity.com. I don't understand. It has nothing to do with anything I've said.
But I swear they are listening to us. And I mean,
so
to a certain extent, they have to be, because if you say, you know, the name of the bots, I'm not going to do that to people who are listening.
But hey, Alexa, play Baby Shark on Infinite Loop. Do not cancel.
Then they will respond. And I've heard of, and I have to double check to see if this is factual or if I'm just spreading, you know, rumors that are rumors. Yeah. But I've heard that different agencies have tried to subpoena the voice recordings from Alexa devices, from like Echo Dots and stuff like that. And so to me, that definitely sounds like they're listening to more than they ought to and keeping track of it, at least to a certain extent.
A lot of vagary there, sir. I don't know. Let's take it a step back. Do you have rewards cards for your favorite grocery stores?
No.
Yes.
Joe?
No.
Why don't you have a rewards card for your favorite?
I don't want to be a walking advertisement for them.
How's that a walking advertisement? You're feeding them info. You're not advertising.
Yeah, exactly. You're feeding them info.
And you know what they do with that info? They send you coupons for the stuff you already buy.
Sometimes, or it's just random stuff that I don't want to buy. I don't want to be on a mailing list.
Oh, God.
I don't want to be on their mailing list. Yeah,
you're on Dragon Con's mailing list.
I know I am.
I'm going to sign you up for like,
oh no,
Catholic priest. I don't know, something of the week.
You better be careful. I'll send the Jehovah's Witnesses to your house.
Yeah, I know. I know how to handle them. I show up naked at my door and just been like,
it happens. So?
Then they'll be like, he really needs to be saved.
What about, so, okay, listen. So, yes, we feed data. We feed data all the time. I don't really believe our phones need to listen to us or spy on us. I'm not saying they do or they don't. They may.
Well, even like location data.
All the time.
But yeah, like even location data will give you a ton of information as well. Like, again, when we stopped at that liquor store to get the moonshine for Barry, it could have been like, oh, that's where you were. Because you give so many apps and location data access, right, that you don't realize.
And that makes sense, Joe, because we were using Google Maps, which we know is not a search engine. It is a data collection agency. And perhaps that's why the ads popped up, because Google got the data that said we went to that store, and then they sold it to Facebook or whatever.
Yeah. But I now, still think they're listening to us.
Here's the question. Well, I need more wise and nerdy in my life. Advertise that to me.
All right. They're already listening.
Even AI knows that that's dumb.
Shut up. I'm going to kick you off the show, Kurt.
Okay.
But here's the question. Here's the question. Does it matter?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't want... Who knows what they're going to do with all the shadiness? I don't trust people. Your data is very valuable. And who says that they are the only ones keeping it?
To who?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish.
You literally were just saying that the different grocery stores are cataloging your preferences to specifically target your ads.
Yeah.
What do you think Facebook is doing?
That's who's offering to pay you for that? Nobody.
No, not me.
It is not valuable to you because they're not going to pay you. Nobody's going to pay you for it. But you know what? Do you get out of it? Every once in a while, I get mad and go, hey, that Deadpool shirt that says, don't ask me why I'm stupid, I won't ask you why you're a butt face, is basically what it says on it. That's because they tracked and they know I like Deadpool. And I bought that shirt because it was marketed to me and I liked it. But Joe, you don't have to click the ads. You don't have to buy the stuff. You can't say, oh, no, thank you. This is not the Joe you're looking for.
So
we're turning into, what is it? The Minority Report, where he walked up and every time they scanned the face, it gave him targeted ads. And then he changed his identity and he got targeted ads
Mr. Miyamoto or whatever.
Yeah.
But here's
that's what we're turning into.
We've always been there. It's just easier for companies to get to it. It is not, I argue, and we'll get turned over your curve, but I argue it's not valuable to you because nobody's going to pay you for it. However, it is valuable then. They'll pay other people for it, and then they will target stuff to you that may or may not matter to you. And in my opinion, I'm going to feed as much data as I can into it because I want to know about the stuff that matters to me. Like, I learned about Humane, the AI phone clip, the day it launched, because of all of my interests in AI and phones and searches and those kind of things. And I loved it that I learned about it the day of launch. Didn't buy it, but I did love it. I'm saying feed the beast because it will then feed me. But Kurt, what is your thought?
Yeah, so I've got two thoughts. One, I would rather have ads that I might be remotely interested in than ads that are just merely annoying. Like, I still don't watch commercials on TV and I don't care how funny they are. People will make pop culture references to commercials that have happened recently and I don't know what they're talking about. And fair I'm enough. Good with that. I would also challenge, Joe, the value that you put on your data. And the reason I challenge that is because you've got social media accounts. You've got, you use Google on occasion. You have you looked to see, to read the end user license agreements for any of these things to know how they're using your data.
No, you're definitely right. I am not like religiously protecting my data. You are spot on that.
I didn't mean to say that to call you out or to shame you in any way or whatever.
Shame.
But it's it, we, what we fall into often is that trap of big business is doing bad, and they're doing bad by stealing our data. And the part that we don't say afterwards is, and that's because we let them. And in fact, they didn't steal it. They took it because we willingly gave it up.
But I think that they are, I wouldn't be surprised if, in fact, regardless of how much Facebook says they're not listening to our microphones, if they 100% are, and it becomes a big scandal down the line,
that's different. That's
exactly,
and that's different. But
oh, my pearls.
My guess is that if we do the digging, we will find that yes, in fact, they are listening, and yes, in fact, they told us, and yes, in fact, we didn't pay attention to the updated license agreements.
Something like that, probably.
I'm not saying that you're wrong, and they probably are doing something shady, but I don't know that it's as surface level as all that.
And I know why you asked the question. I think you asked the question because you want a conversation like this, because you're devious that way, Joe, and I appreciate that about you. But it kind of goes back to the story I tell about my mom, and very religious, anti-gay. And there's at this time, I know you don't know this, Kirk, you don't watch these commercials. But at the time, there was a Lexus commercial, Christmas is coming, and there was this car in between two houses with the red bow on it. And when one guy comes out of one house, one guy comes out of the other house, they both think it's for them. And it's like, Lex is like, who's it for? And it's this cutesy thing. And my mom was like, thinking it's cutesy. And the wild hair got into me, and the devil came into me. And I couldn't help it a little bit. And I just went, they got it for each other, Mom. They're gay. They just have to own their own homes. And she went off. She went nuts. She's like, I will never buy a Lexus. Now, I just made that up on the fly, yeah. Right? And I will never buy a Lexus. Okay, let me tell you something. My mom barely drives an old Jeep Wrangler, or Jeep Grand Cherokee, rather. So you weren't going to buy a Lexus to start with. But secondly, she said, I won't give my money to anybody who gives money to the gays. I'm like, do you not think gay people work in the factory that built that couch? That you don't think gay people work in the place that manufactures the light bulbs? Yeah, you don't know where your money's going. So how about you just worry about what you can do? Now, I'm not saying go hate on gays, because I was absolutely wrong with her. And actually, that's why I was pushing those buttons on her. But to the data stuff. Do we know? No. Can we think about it? Yes. Is it a scandal later? Does it matter? Because at the end of the day, all we can do is what we can do with what we know and what we can do. Thanks, Mike. Oh, my God. Random kid. Make MySpace great again. now, I do want to ask. We're pushing. We're punching. We're having fun here. But are you worried about it?
Not right now. But I definitely could be, as if I could see it getting weaponized is what I'm, and maybe that's just me being a dumb conspiracy theorist, but it recently came out, and I don't mean to go super political, but that certain keywords in people's purchases were being targeted and people were getting put on lists. And so I do somewhat worry. I'm careful. Yeah. I'm a lot more careful about what I post to Facebook than what I'm saying with my phone near me. You know what I mean? And I
do know what you mean. And by all means, you do you, man. That's what makes you feel comfortable. Everybody listening, do what makes you feel comfortable. I don't hide. I put everything out on the internet. I do all my stuff. But you're talking about lists. You heard of the book Catcher in the Rye? There was a time in the United States, if you bought that from anywhere, you were on a list. And they tracked how many of those you bought, because there was a belief, I don't know if it's true or not, I don't know what the studies say or don't say, there was a belief that people who were basically psychotic or going to be serial killers stacked up these books, or mass murders or something like that. And there's even a Mel Gibson movie from the 90s that I can't remember what it's called, but I mean, it starts off with him burning his room because he's a conspiracy nut, but actually they were after him. He's like ex-CIA, whatever.
I think it's just called Conspiracy Theory.
Was it Conspiracy Theory?
I think it was.
He did. He had like, what, 15 Catcher in the Rye books, right? But it was. But that's true. I mean, there's all kind of things in this country that we can say or do that we'll get on lists that we never know that we're on that list. You know, and by all means, be safe. I personally choose not to worry about it because someday the United States Gestapo comes knocking at my door. I'll just deal with it. However, I have to deal with it at the time.
The thing that worries me more than the current situation, honestly,
sure,
is, and again, and because we life is good, and so we get complacent.
Yeah,
it just is, and I know everybody like hems and haws, and it's a topic for a different time. But about how bad things are right now, they're really not. They're just really not. That all is being said, I think what I get worried about more is what if I want to extricate myself from
the data collection.
From the data collection.
Yeah.
But I think Random Kid said something about that. Yeah. Sometimes I wish I lived in the EU since companies are legally required to delete your data upon request.
Read, but those words mean things. Legally required.
Yes.
So how do you know they actually did it? Like, what did we see about Facebook and the original Trump run elections about, you know, Facebook wasn't selling data, but then it turns out they were, and then they got, you know, legally required doesn't mean they do it, but it is a step. But that, I think that plays into your thing, Kurt,
yeah,
about safety is an illusion. Okay, yeah, the law requires you're going to do it. Yeah, it does. And you know what happens if they don't? They have to get caught. Yeah. And then what's the punishment? Sometimes it's a fine. Sometimes it's a slap on the wrist. Sometimes a company goes down.
Well, and a lot of companies will just be the motto, the cost of doing business. And, you know, they're, the fines is just the cost of doing business.
Right.
It, more often than not, it's just a slap on the wrist. Although I think, was it Apple that was recently hit with like a $2 billion fine? So, you know, that's a bit more than a slap on the wrist.
Sure. I don't know the exact case, so I can't speak the specifics. But usually they're structured over like 10 or 15 or 20 years. Now, still, it's a big chunk of money. It is. But it's not like you got to write a check today and it really hurts them. And it's like $2 billion fine payable over 15 years. It's like, okay. But they're going to earn over that 15 years, they're going to earn like $40, $50 billion, if not more. So, like you said, it's the cost of doing business. Civilian is telling you, Kurt, that things are worse than you think. And that's always true, right? Watch Black Mirror. You know, that Black Mirror is not a documentary, but it is a Aesop's fable of our era of teaching us things that we should watch for.
Yep. Right. And I still would argue things are better than we think.
You sit here and do a podcast and talk about things, is it that bad?
Yeah.
I mean, Kurt lived through the Depression. He could tell us how bad it got.
No. But look, I wasn't even alive. But if you go back to the 50s, tell me how good things were.
People thought they were really good. There are people of color who probably thought they were really bad.
If we had the media transparency that we have today, back then, things would be a lot worse back then.
Yeah.
I mean, look, let's take racism out of it. Let's just take racism out of it. All right. Wives were second-class citizens yep. back then. Abortion, good luck.
Yeah.
People are dying from that.
Same-sex anything ain't gonna happen.
Same-sex anything, forget it. Like, yeah. And not only forget it, but criminal for being that way.
Yeah.
In a lot of places.
But by God, if you're a white male, you could drink and smoke in the office during the mornings.
Yeah, you could, and our health was so much better then.
Yeah. Now, I want to touch on this and we move on with the show, Joe. But yeah. the Apple fine, the antitrust fine. So thank you for pulling out the Apple fine's antitrust from the EU. And it was about $2 billion. It was 1.4 billion euros, $2 billion. So here's the follow up, just food for thought. Where does that fine get paid to? Not the people. to the government. What's the government going to do with it? We don't know, but they sure got Apple.
They'll do something dumb with it.
Yeah, look at the U.S. government right now. It's so dumb, but I don't want to get into all that. But that's the thing. So, yeah, we got them. Who got them? The government got $2 billion from Apple, and then what? What did they do? Apple didn't miss a skip a beat, and then the government did something. But roll the dice.
Roll that dice.
Hey.
What are you nerding out about now?
I guess we're a rip. RIP, Mike. Mike's no longer on the show. Sorry, buddy.
Mike who?
Oh, you know what? I don't have the notes open. So I'm nerding out. If I can just jump in.
Go for it. Jump in. The water is warm.
Screen.
Because you peed in it.
Right.
You know, I said a few weeks ago, maybe months ago, that Screen Unseen, if it really is successful, is going to change the world. I still stand by that. We took, now I have my two youngest wanting to go with this. We were playing the game of guess the movie, right? Because there's usually a formula. Now, they are very much being open about it's a 2-week preview of a movie. So that's bringing up more traffic. But we got in there. My wife had gotten pretty good about narrowing it down to say, oh, I bet it's going to be this one. And there's a movie coming out in about 2 weeks. That's Mark Wahlberg. I think it's King something. It's about a dog. Yeah. And it looks fun.
Oh, isn't it like Arthur the King or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, Arthur the King or something like that. Yeah. And it looks cutesy, looks fine. It's not really, I mean, it'd be fine.
It looks like a Marky Mark movie. I mean,
yeah, it is. Yeah. And I'm fine with that. I'm just not an animal person. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. PG-13 or PG, whatever. It fell into the categories, and Aaron's like, I bet you it's that. And then we opened the movie, and the second slide up is BBC Entertainment shows, maybe it's not. And then it was the movie about the man who Nick something or other, who got a bunch of kids out of Europe. I forget the country. It's not Poland. It's right after Poland. Czechoslovakia. Not Czechoslovakia. But basically, maybe it was Poland. But he saved 600 and something children. Like, got them out of that area as Nazi Germany was coming in. It's Anthony Hopkins. He plays the main character. And it was really good. Hmm. And it was a little sad at points. It was a little interesting. Our kids got to learn from it and talk about it. There's a lot of kids in the theater. And she was way more excited that we got to see that.
One Life?
You know what's funny about it? They never put the title up.
Oh.
So that's probably it. Because one of the statements says, save one life, save the world. Or something like that. There's a quote.
Are you sure they didn't put the title up? Or were you just stuffing your face full of popcorn?
And you said it's Anthony Hopkins, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, apparently One Life premiered last year at the Toronto Film Festival, which
that's one of the markers. It's a film festival.
They like to do the film festival ones. So they like to do, sounds like that might be
documentary type docudramas based on real stories to a point. I mean, the only one I know that I didn't get to see it. I hate that I missed it. But the only one that I know that didn't do that was a docudrama was Clarence, the Book of Clarence. I imagine that was probably a Sundance Film Festival winner or something like that. I know American Fiction won tons of awards at all the film festivals before it was shown, and now it's getting like tons of nominations for everything which it deserves. So I'm gonna stay on that. The next one's PG-13. We can't wait till we can try to guess what that movie is. But no, Origin was another movie we watched that they just jumped right into the movie, and maybe it's because it's BBC, I don't know. But yeah, it didn't come up and be like One Life. It just kind of went into the film, and you're watching it. And I don't know if it's because it's the film festival version and not the open market version, or if it's just a style that maybe Screen Unseen is doing, because the one we saw before it was another docudrama with the guy who plays Reacher on the Amazon series about his daughter's got a special disease. Her mom died from it, and that's where the story starts. Her mom dies from it, and so blah, 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 blah. It didn't put up the name of the movie there either. It just, after the previews, it just kind of, here's the who made the film. So maybe, you know what, Curtin, I'm glad you mentioned that. Now think about it. Maybe it's a film festival style.
Maybe.
Film. And you just watch it. So that's what I'm nerding out about. What are you nerding out about?
I finished Warrior.
Yeah, you did. Now I'm going to start over, but it's okay.
No, I liked it quite a bit, but they ended the third season kind of like on a cliffhanger type thing, and
kind of,
it needed to be finished. Like, and
there's some wrap ups. So, but there's a lot of death and dismemberment at the end of that series.
But I think what would have been really, really cool is if they, and I did read the backstory about, you know, the story being developed by Bruce Lee and whatnot, but it would have been really cool to launch that into an Assam series where he's doing the kung fu thing, going town to town to help people. I think that would have been a really cool thing. Get kicked out of the Tongs and then just be like this wayward samurai type
dude. Yeah,
a Ronin.
A Ronin, really? Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
But it was. I thought it was great. And I thought pretty much all the characters were awesome.
Honestly, when they finished the first season, I was good. I'm like, man, they told a full arc. They ended it with a really cool ending. I would love for it to come back, but I'm good if that was the only season they did.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that way about the third season. I felt like we needed some more. Like, they could have stopped at one or two, but at three, it's like, come on, you gotta do a little bit more. More happy.
That might be an interesting question. Shows that went on for one too many seasons.
Ooh, there's so many.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff in season three. I just feel like the ending for me was not quite as satisfactory as I would have liked it, but. And in season three, they kind of didn't do the what we talked about, I guess, last week or 2 weeks ago about the, when they're speaking their native language and the other person doesn't understand doing that. They didn't really do that as much.
No, not as much. Yeah.
So, but yeah, so you loved it.
I did. I really did. I really enjoyed it quite a bit. And it actually made me feel things. Like when I think it was Atoy got basically they destroyed her shelter basically for all the women, and then they had to go back to town and she had to start working again.
First episode of season three, by the way.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, horrible, but it was like, oh my God, what are you doing? And they really pounded home the so just to let you know, while things might be okay for these people, it still sucks.
Yeah. that's what Gert said. Is it really that bad today?
Right. I can only think about what one of the things that made me think about was about the impact of, frankly, the Irish people in San Francisco around that time. And because I was not aware.
I'd heard stories like through the history books, little side stories, but I wasn't aware that. Well, of course, it's fictionalized, but I imagine, I hope that's based on some truth, that so many different cultures were more or less clashing and coming together at the same time in San Francisco. Right. Yeah. But I do love that universally, and I mean this, universally, the rich white man was the enemy across the board, no matter what culture it was. I was like, yeah. I mean, because you have to have a big bat in any story, I think. And while they changed the characters, the whole thing was the man's keeping us down, and we're going to fight for it. But what about you?
Yeah, Joe? I mean, we could talk that show all night.
Watch Wu Assassins.
Yeah.
Watch Wu Assassins.
That's been on my recommended. I've never watched that one. Is it good, Wu Assassins?
Oh, yeah, I love it. It's about monks. So I like all kind of different martial arts, and it's about monk martial arts there. I forget the exact style, but it was really good.
Okay. What I am nerding out about, surprised no one, is an anime. The Unwanted Undead Adventurer. you okay there?
Yeah, no, it sounds like a video game I'd play.
Well, so I do laugh at a lot of anime titles because it's basically an ad for the show, because it's just a description of what it's about rather than like a real title. But anyway, The Unwanted Undead Adventurer is about a guy who within like the first 5 minutes dies. He's eaten and turns into a skeleton. But why should that stop him from, you know, becoming the best adventurer there is? So now he is an undead adventurer. And it's like, I make it sound funnier than it really is with that description. It's pretty down to earth, and I love how genuinely kind the main character is and considerate. And so, yeah, it's a good one. I've been liking it quite a bit. It is ongoing right now, so I don't know how it's going to end. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
And that's on Crunchyroll.
Watch it later.
It is on Crunchyroll.
Now, Joe, you don't strike me as somebody who has a subscription to Crunchyroll.
Oh, little do you know.
Yeah, I mean, okay. He strikes me exactly as somebody that does. No, I'm
sorry. He doesn't want coupons for the cheese he buys at Kroger. I don't see him forking over the money to watch anime. He would just like, where is it free? Where can I share it? Is it on YouTube on Clips? I'll watch it.
He's a Daily Motion guy.
Funimation. He's more Funimation.
Civilian says, no, that is me. So, but it's a good one. Actually, I think I told Civilian to give it a try. I'm not sure if he has yet. But yeah, him and I were talking anime in our Discord.
Donate to your daddy. Patreon.com/
You're so unprofessional. You can't keep your crap together, what? Joe. Your wife
My hand slipped.
Your wife saying lame or fail or whatever? She was talking to you. I just happened to be on the phone.
Oh, yeah, your thumb slipped. Yep. That's
yeah. You're gonna get ads for anti thumb slipping pads for your keyboard tomorrow.
Oh, I wish those existed.
Grippy gloves.
This is not 1950s, Joe. You can't make those hand symbols.
Yeah.
Anymore, buddy.
I can do whatever I want.
Oh. Time for the question of the week.
Wrong one, kid.
Roll that dice.
Oh.
Now it's time for question of the week.
Bad dad jokes.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Oh, Charles, are you ready for this? It's your favorite segment, so I know you are. Why did the picture go to jail?
Oh, my God.
Because it was framed.
Nice.
Waka waka.
Oh, that comes to us from DevoSite.
Of course it does.
Now, there's one that y'all are holding from somebody else who sent it in like weeks ago. Our English friend who lives in Virginia, Lost Slimy, right? Didn't you say, Kurt?
You're waiting on that might. I think that was from a while ago. I don't remember now. I'd have to go dig it up.
You want one from Lost Slimy? Here we go. I've got it.
Oh, no.
I never want to get into a pillow fight with death. Too many repercussions.
That's what it was. That's what it was. It was too many repercussions. Yep.
You two love that way too much.
I love that a lot. I think it's great.
Where can you find a bunch of clowns who deserve to be in jail?
No, you're breaking the law now. You're going to get fined by the EU.
Okay. But where can you find a bunch of clowns that deserve to be in jail?
Oh.
Silicon Valley. Oh, nice. Oh, we lost Charles, but that's okay. It's the price we pay for dad jokes.
It is.
You know, when I remove myself from it, I can still hear you. It didn't help.
Yep.
Yeah. There's some dice that are begging to be rolled.
Roll the dice of destiny.
Of destiny.
Shut up, Mike.
That was DevoSite.
So, Civilian, I hope that your back's doing better. I hate that you're old, man.
Oh.
Time for a commercial break.
Are you ready for a commercial break?
This show brought to you by Jimmy Dean Sausage. You want to make your dad happy, you let him eat all your sausage.
Now it's Maple and Sage.
Hey, sir, what's your favorite gimme name? Mine, Hickory Smoked Booger.
I like the links, not the patty.
Damn you, Kurt. Make patties great again.
Patty mayonnaise from Doug Funny. Head on over to patreon.com/wise_n_nerdy. You can donate as much as you want, but any donation will get you into our Discord, where we can have some great conversations about anime and nerddom and a bunch of bad dad jokes that Charles can groan about. It's great.
Which is $10 a month. I'll read you a bedtime story once a month.
There you go. What do you mean? I'm a halo. And you know what would make that ad read so much better, Joe? If the music wasn't blasting over you the entire damn time.
If you want to make Charles happy, which, you know, not everyone does, but you can head on over to wisennerdy.com/calldad and leave us a voicemail. Charles absolutely loves it when people leave him voicemails.
Do we have any?
Nope.
Okay.
But I could find one, an old one for you.
Nah, it's fine. No. I know what you're on for. Roll the dice. While you roll the dice, I'm going to reach out to our fandom and say, hey, if you got something you'd like to advertise on the show, we'd love to put it out for you. Right now, for the first 3 months, we're charging all of $0. So we'd like to have you participate with us. We'll within reason, we'll vet it. We got to all agree that we're willing to put it out there. But if it's something cool like Civilian on Base and his store on Etsy, that kind of thing, you're back, right? Go look it up. It's awesome. Those kind of things, and VO by Kurt, you know, 75 heart, those kind of things. We'll definitely promote it. And as long as it's got good heart and brings some fandom to the fandom.
Okay.
Daddy, can you tell me a story?
We have a story from Kurt.
Kurt, we got a story for you.
Yeah, so
Kurt says.
So I was thinking about recent events, and look, we've all now lived through the COVID thing, right? However, fair enough. But however, in the past, there have been other kind of pandemic-y type things that people freaked out about and didn't turn out to be as bad. And so, like, when I was younger, I guess, when I was a kid, in the late 70s, early 80s, there was the swine flu. Mm-hmm. And that was a big, big deal back then. And it did put a lot of older people in the hospital.
Hey, that's H4N?
H4N1 was the bird flu.
The avian flu?
Oh, yeah, right.
My mom got that back in like 2009-ish. So what, Kurt, what's the biggest difference then between the swine flu and the bird flu?
Well, one requires tweetment and the other requires oinkment.
Oh, my God. You guys don't understand. I am less than 100 yards away from the bar. I will just leave the show and go get some scotch for my scotchketeers that are out there to tolerate your BS that you are feeding me. How is that a story? That is not a story. That is a
story. No. So the story is that it is a long premise to get in another bad joke. So what would you do for a Klondike bar? All of that being said, those kinds of illnesses, they were a big deal back then, but I think about now, Joe and I were talking before the show started, about things like chickenpox, right? Chickenpox, my kids went through. Did your kids go through that, Charles?
We had the shots by the time I had the kids.
Yeah. So,
I went through it though.
I went through it too. Yeah. And I think my kids didn't, I know my kids went through it, but I think that they're probably like one of the last generations to get it. Like unless you're not vaccinated for it, but we have a way to get around that now. And what was really weird for us is my son got it when he was like 1.5.
Oof.
Really young, really, really young.
Yeah.
Now, the advantage was it was done. Like he,
yeah, you know, one and done typically.
However, my wife had never had it before.
Oh no.
So she got it as an adult at the same time that my son.
See, an adult turns into shingles a lot of times.
Yeah, except she never had chicken pox at all.
Right. That's usually how you get this.
Right. Right. So, so she survived that and it was terrible for an adult.
Okay. So let me clarify that. Did she get like the chicken pox where she was itchy all over, or did she get the adult version that was shingles where it's super painful?
No. It was like all the pock marks and itchy all over.
Okay. Well, from what I understand, shingles is like 10 times worse.
It is. Yeah. And like my grandmother went blind in one eye because of shingles. It was bad.
Yeah.
So the weird part was when my daughter got chicken pox, and my daughter is 4 years younger than my son. She got it at about 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old, still a little young, but kind of normal. My son got it again.
Wow.
Ooh. And got it as shingles, is what the doctor said, because he had had it so young. If you have it that young, you're more susceptible to getting it again.
Oh,
that sucks.
Yeah.
I guess if you're that young, you don't build up sufficient antibodies or something.
I guess, or there's enough there to kind of trigger it again.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the good news is he didn't remember having it the first time.
Right. Yeah. So, and I had it when I was a kid, and I was definitely of the generation where, hey, Kurt's got chicken pox. You guys want to come over?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, chicken pox parties because you want all your kids to get it and then be done.
Get it over with. Yeah.
The story my mom tells from when I had it was one of the random times they had some package delivered or something. I was 5 years old, apparently, when I got it around then. And her solution was to let me just run around the house naked. And so somebody delivered a package to the door, and I just whipped the door open, butt naked 5 year old. And she was, of course, horrified. But and she told me, as we're growing up, she told me about it. She's like, you know, all they do is bathe me. And like, they let me hang out in the bathtub for hours because it helped. And then calamine lotion, and then just run around naked. And I mean, I was five. I don't remember any of it.
Me neither, which I'm happy for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Joe, you're talking about your wife got it when she had a broken arm, which is double whammy.
Yeah. She crashed her bike, broke her arm, and then got chickenpox from someone at the emergency room.
Oh.
So she's young. She's got a cast. And I might be mixing up stories because I think she broke her arm twice. So it might have not been the bike accident, but regardless. When they took her cast off, they found all kinds of stuff in there that she had shoved down trying to scratch and relieve that itch. And so her cast was just full of junk.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that they can't come up with better medical science than freeze-dried fiberglass for your freaking arm or leg or broken bone. It's so dumb.
Well, so my brother, he has a removable cast basically for his ankle because his cartilage is basically all gone. And he's
splint.
Well, so apparently they did the normal cast and then they cut it and they
put a zipper on it.
Kind of. It's one that he belts on, it straps on. And so it is like the fiberglass cast, but it's been cut and he belts it on because normally they would do surgery on what he's got, but he's way heavier than even I am, and I'm a heavy guy. And so they're like, no, unless you lose weight, there's no point. So they just have him, he's in a cast almost all the time, except like when he's sleeping. Mm. So
I broke my arm 3 times as a kid and had a cast on 2 of them. Because the other one was my upper shoulder, and they really couldn't put a cast on that. They just gave me a sling for the summer. But I never had the plaster, the fiberglass. I only had the plaster. Which I don't know if it's any better, but I still had stuff in the cast because it got itchy.
Yep. Yeah. I broke my arm once when I was a toddler, but I don't remember it. Apparently my parents were moving furniture and I crawled right underneath it and they set the furniture down and there was my arm. But yeah, that's the only time it's not the only time I've broken a bone, but it's the only time I've gone to the doctor for a broken bone. All the rest were relatively minor. Like I broke my finger, but I thought it was just jammed. One of the knuckles. But now one of my middle fingers, the top knuckle is disfigured because it was broken and I never got treatment.
Yeah. It's disfigured because you keep using it too much.
Yeah.
Bing,
bing, bing, bing, bing, bing. Snicked, snicked.
I got some sign language for you.
All right. While you roll the dice, I want to preclude the what do you think about saving for a second? Go, my wife, literally 2 racks of shirts and things she can wear. Lots of very cool, even geek shirts that I'm even jealous of because they come in her size and not mine. And yet, she keeps taking my effing shirts. I just went to Facebook again to see if I got an ad for Jimmy Dean Sausage, and she posted because they went to meet Phil Rosenthal tonight. Somebody beat Phil, and him and his daughter wrote a kid's book, and you know, it was very affordable to go, and they love him. And she's sitting in my Super Mario shirt. I'm like, wear your own damn shirts, lady. Sorry, Jeff. Go ahead. What we got?
Okay.
What do you love?
My wife says my shirts. I don't love that at all.
Which is, what do you think about? And this was brought to us by Charles. It's, what do you think about salesmen? So what are you thinking about salesmen, Charles?
Kurt got my face. Now, I want to ask you, because Kurt got the hard face like I did. Joe, what do you think about salesmen?
Oh, I have no patience for them anymore. If they come to the door, if I bother to answer, I'm just like, yeah, let me cut you off. I'm not interested. Bye. Boom. And I have no patience for
it. You don't typically shop in a place where you need salesmen, like maybe for a car once in a while, but you typically go to retail stores that don't have salespeople.
Yeah. Like if I go to a place with salesmen, like a used car lot or whatever, I go there already knowing what I want. At that point, it's not you're trying to sell me something. Sure. You're there for me to haggle with.
But that was still playing to my point in a minute. But Kurt, your face went like, I'm going to kill somebody.
I just, I want to trust them. And yet, because inherently I want to trust people.
Sure.
But by and large, the ones that I've dealt with have been pretty dishonest because they don't do sales the right way. And I only make that qualification because my best friend in the world and my boss is a great salesman. And he is one of the guys that would say, you know what? We don't have that for you, but you can get it here and point somewhere else.
Ah, the miracle on 34th Street syndrome.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. Because it's better to be a good person than it is to rack up that sale. And frankly, it pays off in the end. It pays dividends by just being a good person.
Honest. I think the word is honest.
Well, there's that. There is that. But I mean, but I think being a good person, honesty comes with that. That's all.
It makes me think of, we had AT&T a couple of years back put in fiber lines around here. And I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show, but I know I've mentioned it to Charles, but the internet that we have here through our electric company is ridiculously good. And they're like, oh, we can beat it. I'm like, no, you can't. They're like, yeah, we can. I'm like, even if you can beat it for a month, maybe two, you're gonna have that bubble where it just shoots up. It's not worth the hassle. They're like, no. We will beat it. We'll have faster speeds. No, you won't.
I literally let a guy into my house from AT&T to sit at my table. It's like, prove it. Because I can show you right here on my computer what my speeds are. And on your website, when I compare prices, you don't even come close to the speeds. Oh, no. And he got on the phone and he called customer service. And they're like, they didn't say this, but basically they're like, get out of that dude's house. There's no, we can't do that. I mean, I'm like, yeah, get out of my house. But yeah, he was just, no, we can. I hate that. But beyond that, salesman, there used to be a differentiation between an account rep and a salesperson. There is not anymore.
Right.
And I am over that. I had to deal with two today. And I run a company, so I definitely have to deal with account reps and service reps and salespeople. It's just part of the nature of my business.
So what used to be the differentiation?
The differentiation was I was basically an account rep when I did this medical stuff from an office. As a salesperson, we go to the doctor's office, sell them on the products. This is what we have, and get them on board. That's what a salesperson is supposed to do. We get in the door, we find a solution to your problem, and now we're going to hit, and then depending on the situation, an account rep, I had certain clinics that would send their stuff to me. So they would have somebody on their side that would call me with any issues, and I'd be the guy to answer them. And I would fix the reports, and I would do it, and they had different things they wanted. So I was basically an account rep. I didn't sell them anything, but I managed them going forward. That was what an account rep was. Now, do not use ZipRecruiter at all. It is trash. It is the worst. You know why they spend more on advertising than Indeed? Because they can't hold a candle. And I know that because I went there and spent $1,000, because that's where we play in my business. I was needing paramedics, and I told them, I need to be able to get paramedics. And they're like, yeah, we do this. I'm just willing to try another avenue. Here's is comparable to Indeed as far as the cost. Of course, first red flag is, oh, you know, we do everything they do. We do it for like $300 cheaper. I'm like, that's the reason they charge what they charge. You know, when you're trying to really say you undercut people, I don't know. But I did it. I tried it for 1 month. And I worked with a salesperson / account rep. So he held my hand the whole time, right? And I'm explaining to him. And he just didn't get it. And he's trying to show me how to search stuff. And I'm searching with him. We're sharing screens. And it wasn't working. But I kept trying it, right? We tried different things. After 1 month, before my time came up, I was like, yeah, no harm, no foul. It's worth a shot. Maybe ZipRecruiter is just not for the paramedic world and the type of people I'm trying to recruit. And he's like, no, they're here. I'm like, no, they're not. I've spent $1,000 and gotten three out of three different ads, got a total of three applications. All three of them were anywhere near qualified. They didn't come. Your AI didn't recommend the right people. It just didn't work for me. Thanks, but no thanks. Yeah, no, I understand that. You know, we'll cancel it. We'll shut it down. Cool. Month goes by, I get a notification. They pulled another $1,000 out of my account. I was like, yeah, no, that's not cool. And then my ads were still up that were supposed to be down. So, okay, you didn't steal that money, but I'm going to go in. I'm going to shut it down now. And I wrote him and nothing and this and that and nothing. And I go to shut down ZipRecruiter. And this is why they're trash. Number one is, fine, you can be the second dog in the race. And maybe it's great for corporate headhunting or other things. But it didn't fit my needs. But one, when you lie to me, you don't shut things down, you're stealing money from me. Two, if you have a ZipRecruiter account, go try to cancel it. It immediately pops up, you've got to call this phone number or email this email. I'm going to Indeed turn it off right now. That's any good company.
Yeah.
I've spent tens of thousands of dollars with Indeed over the last 3 years because they work for me. I could turn it off today and they wouldn't bat an eye. They wouldn't fight me.
See, that's why there's new companies popping up that you literally pay them to cancel stuff for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of these predatory cancellation practices.
Going back full circle to the beginning. There are governmental laws that say you can't do that. There are governmental laws that say it has to be an easy cancellation, an easy opt-out. And they're not doing it because they find loopholes. That being said, I bring them up tonight because we have recently changed credit cards in our company. And I got a notification that it bounced because we changed credit. And I wrote them. I went to cancel it again. And I lit them up. So I was clear. I'm in writing. You do this again, I will go to the Better Business Bureau. I'll look and see if I can get a lawsuit. I'm going to go on TikTok. I'm going to just whatever I can do to tell my story that you are stealing my money. I was busy today. We're opening a new base. We're expanding. We're doing some great stuff. And I was busy in meetings all day. And so I got a call. By the way, the call center for both Indeed and ZipRecruiter are in Arizona. So I keep getting unknown numbers from Arizona. It turns out to be them. They leave messages. And now, Indeed, I have an account rep. Yeah, he tries to sell me a little bit, but I've gone through two or three account reps now because, people move on in the company or whatever. All of them, super educated, try to understand my industry, look at my tools, have really given me advice that really funneled people to me. And now they are at the point it's like, yeah, we just want more money. But he was cool about it. Got a voicemail today, and it was my account rep from ZipRecruiter going, hey, yeah, man, I just checked on your account, and I see you have no ads up. I don't really want you paying for something if you're not using it. I'm like, I am about to call you back and rail you over a recorded line and ask to speak to your supervisor and get you fired because you are stealing money from me. And I've told you in writing. I told him in person on a recorded meeting. Done. Cancel the account. It's not working for me. ZipRecruiter is stealing money, and I am done with them. And then insurance. Buckle up, Buttercup. We're going for a ride tonight. Huh. I hate salesmen. I do. Now, my partner is a salesman. I tell him all the time, I was like, you are the only good salesman I've ever met. It's similar to what you were saying, Kurt. I believe it was you saying that because he's the guy's like, if it's not our solution, we can't help you. You know, I can help you find it. He's helpful guy. And he really knows how to meet needs and do sales that way. But our insurance guy, won't get into a whole long story because I just went through a long, angry story about ZipRecruiter. But our supplemental insurance went in effect March 1st. So my employees are like, hey, I don't have my cards. I don't know how to get my kids to get their eye doctor. And I'm like, huh. I went on to, there's this thing called, Employee Navigator or something like some portal that we have that lets us log in and see our benefits. I can see, oh yeah, I get my benefits. No cars, no nothing. So hey, call the insurance sales guy because he's supposed to handle all that. He didn't take her call. She emailed him. He emailed her the temporary dentist cards, which shouldn't be temporary when it went into effect 7 days ago. And then he tried to say that he didn't work with certain companies. We were doing this and doing that and blah, blah, blah. Like, no, 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 no. You came to my office and I didn't hire him. I hate him. I think he's a piece of trash. But he came to my office to force me to, my boss/partner said, do a video with him so we can educate people how to sign up. Sat next to me, had all the answers that proved me wrong. Literally, like on the phone and recording, I was like, dude, you're not on, never apologized, never nothing. And that's my word of the day, obfuscated everything. Like, there's no clarity on how to get anything. We don't have links, we don't have any way to understand how to do it. And now, our rep, our salesperson, oh, I don't do that. You literally sold it to us, you piece of bleep. So, yeah, thank you, Joe. it is. Yeah. Okay, random kid. This is why I dealt with as an account rep. Salespeople always overpromise every single time. Now, obviously, truly, it's not every. You're going to have the one-offs like Kurt's guy and my people and some people I've met in my past and this and another. Sure, but the rare unicorns are the salespeople that meet your needs and tell you the truth. And I chewed out my sales reps all the time when I worked at it was called CardiaNet back then. I don't know what it is now. because they go, no, we can do that. No, we can't. We cannot send a Tesla to space. That's not what we do, man. I'm reading a report. Why are you selling them Teslas that are going into space, you moron? Yeah, so all right. I'm off my rant, but that's, I was thinking about that tonight, going, I need to vent a little bit because I'm going to professionally go and threaten to take down the entire company if I have to, if they ever touch another dime of my money or try to or contact me ever again. And I warned them I was going to do this. That's going to tell my story publicly because you aren't listening. All I need you is listen. And that's my ultimate thing.
Yeah.
And I know you got something, Kurt. I'm going to throw it to you.
I had my sales thing, but it speaks to I've been reading a number of different like self-improvement type books. And the thing that most salespeople say that they have is integrity, but through practice, very few do. Because part of it is, frankly, based on the fact that a lot of salespeople still work on commission.
You can be rich if you do the right job.
Yes.
What did you say, Kurt? You just keep coming back. Talking about, hey, finding, you know, the not a Christmas story. Yeah, Christmas story principle. Hey, no, we don't have
a year. Oh, the miracle on 34th Street.
Because people go, man, that person took care of me, and that's what they remember, not what they bought, not the deal they got.
Right.
Who took care of me?
It's kind of funny, too, because, like, one of the things that we talk about often in our company is when we have to recommend things for a customer, we often will go, well, you know, they don't have a lot of money. So we need to think about, you know, budgetarily, what should we require? What should we recommend that's within their budget? And my boss, who is a sales guy, often says, okay, We're very happy that we're being sensitive about, you know, whether or not it fits into their budget, but is it the right solution? Like, because it's more important to give them the right solution and let them say, you know, we can't afford that. Is there something more affordable? Because that puts us in the position of going, well, you can do this, but it won't have these features. How important are these features to you?
Oh, yes, Kurt. And then here's a phrase I hate. Well, tell me what price would it take for you to say yes and not worry about it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, that. I'm not a fool. I'll let my phone listen to me. I'm not going to feed you that information, dummy. Go buy it from Facebook. Like everybody else does.
That's why whenever anyone calls and is like, or sends me a text and be like, "Hey, we want to buy your house." I'm like,
oh, yeah,
sure, $1 million. I'll sell it to you.
Cash.
They're like, I had one guy go as far as he was like, what have you done to your house to make it worth $1 million? I'm like, nothing. But I don't want to leave. And so the price for me to leave.
Are yours real? Because mine are always BS texts. So.
I don't know. They're probably BS.
Your house at 135 Cherry Lane, we'd like to buy it. And I'm not Belinda. It's not my house. And I know it's a fishing thing. It's like, come on. Get out of here.
No, it's usually the right address and name.
So they're actually trying to. Well, and you are in a very well-populated neighborhood that, honestly, if a corporation bought it, they'd make bank renting it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but. Yeah, it makes me, you know, just thinking about salesmen, I was trying to think about different movies that have salesmen, and it makes me think of Secondhand Lions. You've never seen it?
Oh, I meant to, and my wife and kids have seen it, but yeah, I haven't got around to it yet.
It's good. You should see it. Haley Joel Osment is in it.
Yeah, he's a little girl.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was after Sixth Sense, but he was still a teenager. But, yeah, so there's a salesman that keeps coming because the rumor is that his uncles used to be bank robbers and have a ton of money.
Right.
So the salesman keeps coming back trying to sell him stuff. And half the times they shoot guns at his feet or stuff like that to drive him away. But then he finally realizes you know, some of the different things that might actually interest them. And so he finally makes a couple of sales with them, because he finally zones in on what his customers actually want. But yeah, that it is an underrated movie, in my opinion, Secondhand Lions. It's a lot of fun.
It's got a great bar fight scene.
It does. It does. But
did you, from Secondhand Lions, did you learn how to manage your money?
No, because they threw money at all kinds of stuff.
I see what you did there. Nice segue.
Let Daddy decide.
Which, as
no Charles kid said, is not what it's called anymore.
How do I manage my money? Oy, this is quite the topic. Charles, how do you manage your money?
Man, lots of starts and stops and failures and some successes. We have a written budget, and that used to be sufficient of being able to say, these are our bills, right? And so we know we're going to get paid this much. We pay these bills, and then we get paid this. And as long as we came out with more money than bills, that worked. Through the stimulus package era, I guess during COVID, pretty much all my checks went right into my savings account. I mean, I spent some money, had some fun with the kids and stuff, and the kids' checks went in their savings account. But I needed it, because when I had to move, we ended up eating a ton of that saving. But having it at that level, like I got the $6,000 or $7,000 in my account just because I kept dumping all the money into it. And it's not that anymore. So having it at that level, I'm going, well, that's not going to get me through a month and a half, 2 months of bills. I still feel good having it and not having it. So try to build your savings up and forget about it. That's nice. But now, honestly, not only do we have the budget, I have a spreadsheet that, because I do all the stuff with work. I'm like, I've got to get to the bottom of this. We're having some issues with, there's a month I made the most money probably in my life through bonuses and different things. And and yet somehow we were short on paying a bill. I'm like, this math don't math. And so then I started doing a spreadsheet and tracking it, essentially. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but basically tracking the actual expenses versus the projected expenses to make sure that, hey, we didn't go to fast food for $300 this month when we already have a budget for groceries and food. Hey, we didn't go, I have four kids, and the price of groceries now, I think our budget is like $1,000, something like that, for a month for a family of six. And that's still, you know, having to shop for it, right? Make sure we're not spending $1,500, because that's not what the budget was. That's basically how I manage it. I've tried to pay off my debts. I try to make sure I pay cash for stuff as much as I can. I have stuff going into my, Curtin, I do stocks. And so I have just automatic pull into that and some 401k type stuff there too. But what about you guys? When you talk about managing money, is that what you're basically were talking about? Is how you manage that money, or?
Sure. And what do you teach your kids about managing money?
Yeah, no, we definitely teach them about bills. We teach them about if you don't have the money, you don't have the money, and savings. Like they've done, as y'all know, they've done some background work and different things and gotten paid for it. So we give them, we try to start teaching, hey, you're going to get 25, 30% of your check. The rest of it needs to go into savings. As they get older, like when our kids get old enough to get a car, they have to pay for the gas. And it depends on the deal we make with them about school and grades, whatever. They may have to pay for insurance as well. Like Oakland currently is paying for his gas, his car payment, and his insurance. And he's paying rent to live in my house. Not much, but you know, something that says, hey, I still want to teach you save money to get out of here, but you can't move on in life if you're not paying your bills currently.
So you had to talk to him about how much it costs to rent his shed?
Yeah. Basically, I mean, it's an arbitrary number, but yeah, you know, I made him sit down, eventually make a budget. Now he actually is smarter than I ever was, because he got his mom to be his accountant. Basically, he's like, yeah, check's here, just pay my bills for me. And she does. But he likes knowing that she's going to put it in the savings, and she's acting almost like a real accountant, not the person who tracks your money, but the one who pays your bills and stuff for you. By making sure his bills are paid and telling him, okay, you can pull this much out of the account, or you have this much to spend, so he can cash out people or whatever. And he stays actually fairly close to that budget. It is okay.
Yeah, so it's funny because I was looking at the question as worded, how do I manage my money? And I will say at this point, poorly. So I've had ups and downs. You know, sure. I've had currently we're in the middle of a down. And so it's something that I have to dig out of. And I've had to do it before, and I'm probably hopefully I won't have to do it again. I'm running out of chances.
Aren't you supposed to retire 5 years ago?
Oh yeah. There is no retirement. Look, I've got a little bit of an IRA and a little, you know, some investment stuff, but I am working until I die is pretty much the way I've already figured out. So, unless something extraordinary happens. But I don't see that. So, but what I have kind of taught the kids and talked with them about is A, if at all possible, stay away from credit cards completely, they're just not necessary anymore. And B, if you have the opportunity to, enter or to start a 401k through your company that you're working for and they have any kind of a match, you max that out as much as possible to at least meet what the company is matching.
Did you also teach them that even if that's not there, to do their own 401k as early as possible?
No. Because again, you know, the thing is you can do that stuff, but I think that the employer matching thing is kind of a gimme.
No, it is a gimme. I'm not saying don't do it, but the reason I ask it is because lots of good parents have taught that. My parents didn't teach me that because honestly, if I'd been even at any point in my life before now, if I'd really started that, it'd compound interest, blah, blah, blah. And that's what I try to teach my kids, like, don't just do savings, find a way to, like, my retirement started with just putting $5 into the stocks app.
Yeah.
And, you know, stash is what Kurt and I use. And doing that. And then eventually I said, okay, I'll put another $20. I do $20 a month just for stocks and, you know, for the long game. And then I do another $20 in retirement through them as well, just for that. Now, I started that when I was over 40. So it's not going to be great. So my idea is to really be the right guy podcasting and make millions, and then I'll self-retire. But that being said, the reason I brought it up, Kurt, and we'll get back. Sorry, I interrupt. I have employees who like, well, I don't want to, sometimes people are like, I don't want to work, you don't have a 401k. I'm like, I pay top of the market here. I mean, you're going to be hard pressed to find somebody who pays what I pay and treats you the way I do. So you can take that money and put whatever you want into it. Sure, I get what you're saying, Kurt. It is a bonus. It's an icing on the cake that if your company offers a match on 401k, by all means, you're getting free money. Essentially, you're doubling what you're putting into up to a certain point. Some people just think they're entitled to it and they're like, I have to have that. I'm like, but do you, Kurt, I don't know what you make, but if I said, look, Kurt, I'm going to offer you $300,000, but I ain't got no benefits other than health. We'll take care of your health.
I'm pretty sure I could manage.
Exactly. Yeah. In our market. In our market, what I pay is virtually that. It is, you can earn almost nothing, like 40 grand a year and scrape by, and maybe I can give you a 401k that you really can't afford, or I can pay you $300,000 and it's not literal again, but you can then do whatever the hell you want with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other secret that I've really tried to tell everybody is that if you have it taken out of your pay every week pre-tax, which is the other benefit, but have it taken out of your pay every week, you will not miss it.
Yeah.
You just won't.
Yeah.
And so like, I think to the point where I don't know exactly what percentage of my pay I have coming out every week. Cause I invest in an IRA and my company does happen to do some matching. But I don't remember what that is. Like because I don't think about it. It's just, it's there and I just let it go. So.
What about you, Joe?
So I had a person I used to carpool with that he listened to the Dave Ramsey podcast all the time. Like, it was several months of me, like probably about 6 months of me riding, and every morning it was a Dave Ramsey podcast, to the point where someone came with a question, I'm like, okay, I know how Dave's going to answer this.
Exactly. Yeah.
And there's a lot of good lessons to be learned there. And
there's some good principles for sure.
Yes. Yep. And so I think the key is, if you're having trouble with money, write down, even if you're not ready to budget or whatever, you don't think you're ready to budget, write down where everything is going. Because if you don't know where everything's going, then you don't even know where to start.
Right.
To get your to get a budget in control. And the one thing that we've been telling my kids, now my kids are, you know, my oldest is 11, my youngest is 4, is
he's the smartest out before you. The number one thing.
Is beware of impulse buying. And so whenever they want a video game or whatever that they're like, oh, I want it. I need it right now. We're like, okay, we know that you want it. If you still want it in 3 weeks, we'll talk about it. And so we've told our kids that they have to tell us what they want, and we're not going to let them impulse buy it. Cause I mean, if it's a necessity, that's a different thing. But obviously, most of the stuff that they want is not even close to a necessity. And so we're like, if you still want it in 3 weeks, we'll talk about it. And you can budget your money accordingly. And so that delayed gratification, I think, is a very important skill for kids to learn that will really serve them well in the future. So, yeah, I think,
you know, one thing my parents did teach me along those lines about money is, okay, I want a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures, right? And I'd saved up my allowance or cut grass or something, earned some money. And then it's like, okay, so the first thing was, you have to earn the money. Cool. They taught me I had to tithe. They're like, it's like God's tax. So then why don't you just take tax or rent from me, man? You know, because God doesn't make you tithe. It's like, whatever. It's all right, I digress. But they taught me to earn the money, pay a little bit of my bills off of it. But then, so I wouldn't have just a stockpile of stuff and impulse buy, because impulse can last for a while. I mean, when you're a kid and you're like, I want that. Well, it's going to take me 4 weeks to earn it. You can be laser focused and just cut all that grass and earn that money and do that. Still an impulse buy. So they said, okay, but you have to get rid of, you have so many figures of so many things. You can't get, how many turtles do you want? I want all 4 of them. Like, well, then you got to pick 4, because they were the 8-inch ones or whatever, the regular full size, not like G.I. Joe's, which were skinny. They were the bigger. So it's like, well, you got to pick 4 comparable toys to get rid of. You can give it away at a church thing, you can give it to a friend, whatever. And they made me pick, I got to choose, and I picked 4 of my toys. And I remember what they were. I don't remember what they were from. They're from some show where one was blue and one was red, and you put parts on, they can turn into like an airplane or something. I don't remember.
Transformers. No.
I remember taking them to my friend down the street. He's like, hey, man, would you like these? Like, yeah, sure. Cool. And I gave it to him. And then my parents took me to Walmart. We bought the turtles that I learned. So that was something that I try. And I stress that I try to teach my kids, because my wife gets in the way. When she goes out, they almost always come back with something little. But it's only $1. It's only $2. I'm like, they literally cannot fit one more stinking stuffed animal in the room, and here they're coming back with 2 little num-nums or something, whatever the hot thing is, you know?
And Furby!
I've actually had my daughters go through and fill a trash bag full of plush animals that they don't even want or remember anymore to donate, and it didn't make a dent. So that's something you also have to worry about, is even when you teach them to earn it or want it, are they really going to use it and value it? And even as an adult, I had to learn value versus want. But you know, yeah. Okay, Kurt.
So the other concept that I'm in favor of is, so you do the investment thing, obviously, make sure that you don't use credit cards and just, you know, pay for what you pay for your bills, right? But I also think if you can, and the earlier you can do this, the better, set aside a percentage just for your impulse buys.
That's what I call it, play money.
Whatever it is. But if you like, and often, like if you do direct deposit, you can have a separate account that a percentage goes into and just do that. And again, from a paycheck standpoint, if you do that from the beginning, you don't miss it. You don't notice that it's gone. Because you tend to live within those means.
Random kids like, the best thing to do is learn to love instant ramen. Hey, I lived on bologna and cheese sandwiches. I eat ramen, you know. And like, balance too. I will say this, balance. I would swing from one extreme to the other. Oh my God, we spent too much money in lockdown mode. It's literally words we use. And we wouldn't spend anything with bills, and you're miserable, miserable, miserable until you blow the cap off one night and go spend some stupid money. And then you feel bad about it. Like Kurt said, find a balance, find some slurpy money, keep a budget of things around. I mean, Joe, you do that. You plan for Dragon Con every year, right? And you kind of set your own budget on how to do it. You're willing to make sacrifices, like sleep on a couch or something.
Or that one year where I was just flat broke, walking back to and from mile and a half to the con in the dark of the night. Oh, man.
You know what, Joe? But you know what they say. Yeah, if you got money problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but the show ain't one. That's the show, everybody. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next week.
Follow these nerdy dads on social media. Charles at Rock God of Podcasting. Joe at Joseph _ R.
And Kurt at VL by Kurt.
Nerdy.com. And as always, they may not be your father, but they'll always be your daddy.
Find your fandom.
Shut up, Mike.
Hmm.